Well, I believe they're happy. Some of you didn't look too happy, but they're happy. But anyway, that's good. I would have been singing the bass. I'm a better bass than Brother Trowbridge, but I just didn't know the words. If you believe that, I'll sell you some property underwater in Florida. Right, okay. How to deal with how you feel. The series, and this will probably be the last message in this series. When you feel angry and bitter. When you feel angry and bitter. How to deal with how you feel when you feel angry and bitter. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. The scripture says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Now let's read that again. I mean, you follow and I'll read it, all right? "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Everybody understand that? That's pretty plain, isn't it? "For anger resteth in the bosom of" what? Say it with me. "Fools." Say it again. "Fools." All right? Now, that's the Word of God. How do you respond to traffic on the interstate? I knew you'd laugh. When somebody cuts you off, or somebody slows down too fast, or runs right up on your bumper, or whatever they do, how do you respond to that kind of thing? How do we respond when somebody gossips about us? It may be true, it may not be true, but how do we respond when somebody says something about us? How do you respond when you just have dozed off to take a nap and one of those crazy telemarketers calls you? Does that make you angry? We have all kinds of situations that could do that. And we have emotions, and emotions are okay. God made us that way. God made us emotional beings and to have emotion. But when we abuse the emotion, that's when it's bad. When we do the wrong thing with our emotions, that's when it is bad. When we love our family, that's good. But when we love the world, that's bad. Amen? When we love or hate evil, that's good. If we hate evil. But if we hate people, that's not good. So we have emotions that can go in either direction, and we have the choice in those things. Now let's talk, first of all, about hurtful anger and how hurtful anger, that is, the misuse of emotions and anger, can be used. And we try to justify it, and we might say something like this: "Well, they hurt me first. If they hadn't hurt me, then I wouldn't want to hurt them back." Is that the proper way to respond according to the Bible? And I can tell you this, that a skunk, no matter what we say, a skunk is a skunk, no matter what name you give it. And that skunk, you can put a ribbon on it and give it some Dolce & Gabbana, night blue or ocean blue, whatever it is. I don't even know what I use. But at any rate, you can put it on that skunk and do all those other things and wash it and everything else. But when it comes time for it to stink, it's going to stink like a skunk. It's going to smell like a skunk. And so we need to realize that we have to be careful about how we respond and react to whatever situation might come our way. Sometimes we respond in a negative way because things don't go our way. If things don't go our way, then we get very angry, very mad. Most of the time, that's built around something called selfishness. If we get angry about something like that, it's usually selfishness. Our opinion maybe wasn't accepted down at the office. We told them what to do, but they wouldn't listen to us. And so our opinion doesn't mean anything to them. So we'll just get angry about it and cut back on our work ability and those kinds of things. These are very simple illustrations about it. What about getting ready for church on Sunday morning? And here's the guy, the husband. And he says, "All right, we got 15 minutes to be ready to be in the car to go to church." And then he says something about 10 minutes before that, and he says, now we've got about 10 more minutes. You better get ready. And then he gets everybody sort of halfway rounded up, and he said, well, I'm going to the car now, and y'all better get ready and get on out here to the car. And he goes out in the car and starts the car and turns the air conditioner on so it'll be cool for them. And then all of a sudden, they're not coming out, and so what does he do? He starts blowing the horn. Where are you? Where in the world are they? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they on time? And I believe you ought to try to be on time, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. It just doesn't work out, and you have to... How do you react to those kinds of situations? How about young people when they're... Sometimes it's not just adults that react wrongly. Sometimes it's young people. Sometimes they may think their parent is wrong. Can you imagine that? That a youth would think their parent was wrong. And I can hear them now. If you would just get me the car and let me drive the car to school, I would have more prestige and I'd be a much better witness for the glory of God if I just had a car to drive to school. And the parent says, no, I don't think you're quite ready, so get on the bus and pass out tracts. Amen. And they get mad and angry at mom and dad and say, they just don't understand me. They don't understand what's going on. What about a situation, your spouse? Let's say, guys, your wife has just had her hair fixed. Or maybe she just bought a new dress. And you come in and lo and behold, you don't even recognize it. You don't even notice it. You don't even say anything about it. Ladies, how do you react to something like that? It always reminds me of that joke about the guy who his wife kept spending too much money on dresses. And he told her, said, next time you go down to the department store, here's what you do. When the devil starts tempting you, she said, I just can't help it. The devil tempts me. When the devil starts tempting you, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. So sure enough, she went shopping. She came back. She had on a brand new dress. He said, I thought I told you to say to the devil, get thee behind me. She said, I did. I said, well, what did he say? He said, it looks real good back here, too. Always like that one. So, ladies, I've just given you something to say, all right? What about it, guys, when you say, man, I bring in the paycheck week after week after week. I go out and work. A lot of times it's husband and wife, but let's just say it might be the husband. And he says, they don't appreciate me. They don't even recognize that. And I bring in all the money, and all they do is spend it, and I don't get any of it, hardly. How do you feel about something like that? Well, listen to Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Used to, the cities had walls around them, and that was for what? Their protection. And so he says, a person that loses their temper real easily, that hath no rule over his own spirit, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Unprotected, the enemy can get in. Now, another case would be when we get angry and attack someone else. When we get angry and attack someone. Proverbs 29:22. The scripture says, and I'm just reading right out of the Word of God, as it says, an angry man stirreth up strife. Now let's make that generic, an angry person, and it would apply to a woman as well as a man. An angry woman or an angry man stirreth up strife, and a foolish man or woman aboundeth in transgression. In other words, they are always, there are some people that just seem to always be stirring up something. Did you know that there are some Christians that maybe feel like that's their gift and God's called them just to stir up something? But that isn't a gift in the New Testament. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, or a wrathful woman. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. That's biblical. Proverbs 18:6-7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. I remember being I was president of the Independent Baptist Fellowship International. And we were having a board meeting upstairs. It's back when we met over here, and we were upstairs where the youth room is now, where the ping pong table and all that is. Were you in that meeting? You weren't. You heard about it. Most people did. So I was up moderating the meeting, and we were discussing something. And this one preacher stood up, and he made his little statements. And all of a sudden, over on this side, another preacher stood up, and he made his statement, which was contrary to what he said. I don't think we should, and I think we should. All of a sudden, one of the preachers just jerked his coat off and said, "Let's just go out back and settle it." I thought, man, that's biblical. I hope you preach that to your people. And that's a true story. And I was like, good night, Agnes. What's going on here? And I had to, I don't know exactly how I handled it, but anyway, we just sort of let it simmer down. But I thought they were going to fight right there in the room, and he was wanting to go out and fight. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says the fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. I'll just fight you. Let's just fight it out. Anger can be good, all right? In other words, we have emotions, and they can be bad or good, but anger can be good. God gets angry. Did you know that? Everybody says, oh, God, just love, 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 and He is love. Thank God He is love. But God can get angry. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is holy, and He gets angry with those that are wicked every day. And we have the fact of God's anger, and people who don't believe God gets angry, and so they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But when they stand at the great white throne judgment, they're going to understand what it is to know the wrath of God. And when God casts them into hell, not because God sent them to hell, but because they rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to know about the wrath of God and the anger of God. And you don't want to be on the angry side of God. You want to be on Jesus' side. And that's the right thing. Sometimes we ought to get angry at self. Why? Because of sin. If you have sin in your life, it ought to make you mad. You ought to be so angry about it, you say, I'm not going to continue with that sin in my life. I don't like it. I despise it. It's breaking my fellowship with God. And be angry with yourself and fight off the devil because of it and hate what God hates. When you see something in your life that God hates, hate it too and get rid of it. Immediately get rid of it. Get cast it away. It also, good anger can cause us to rectify the wrong situation in a wrong relationship. Whenever we have some problems and difficulties, if we'll get angry about that and say, this is not right, this is not God's will. And so we try to rectify the relationship. We can handle anger in one of a couple of ways, according to the Scriptures. Ephesians 4:26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." And then it says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." That means you and your wife can fight all day long, but just be sure you pray before you go to bed. Amen? Well, I think it means more than that, but it certainly would mean that, because some couples do fight all day long. And they're at each other's throat all day long, and they have problems all day long, and they feud and fuss all day long. But what does the Bible say? He says there's one of two ways to handle it. There's a proper anger, he says, as he points that out in the first part of the verse. Be ye angry and sin not. There is a righteous anger that we have the right to be angry about. And the Bible is very clear about that. And then he says we ought to resolve the anger that we have on a daily basis. We should do that. So, what are some of the wrong ways to handle anger? Jay Adams, who is a counselor, a Christian counselor, an authentic counseling, and bases his counseling on the Word of God, says there are a couple of different ways that you should not deal with anger. One of those, number one, is don't blow up. You know, the Freudian psychologists will tell you, ventilate, get it out. Scream, holler, raise Ned, all that. Just ventilate, get it out. Is that what the Bible says? That isn't what the Bible says. And so it reminds you of an old-fashioned pressure cooker. How many of you remember those things, the old-fashioned? Now, that was before the days that we had some of these other fancy things that are around, like the crock pot and all, but the old pressure cooker. I can remember Mama using that pressure cooker. I don't know the science of it, but I just know it made the things taste better and a little softer and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes if the fire got too hot, that pressure cooker would start whistling and steam would start coming out of the top of it. And I've heard of some where the top blew off and just covered the ceiling, that kind of thing. Well, that's not the right way to handle it. And a lot of Christians let it pile up, pile up, pile up, build up, pile up, and pow, they blow their stack, so to speak. And they lose their mind, the little last little part that they had. But anyway, they do it. But the Bible says, no, don't do it that way. What does it say? Be in control. Be in control of your spirit. Be in control of your temper. That's a biblical thing to do. And then the second thing he says don't do, and I believe it's backed up in the Bible in the principle, and that is don't clam up. Don't blow up and don't clam up. Some people just, when they're mistreated, they just say, well, I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going in my little corner. I'm going to sulk. I'm going to sour. I'm just not going to talk to my wife. I'm just not going to talk to my husband. I'm not going to talk to Mama and Daddy. I'm just going to clam up. That's not the right way to handle it, according to the Word of God. You see, you're not going to work out problems by clamming up or blowing up. That's not the way to do it, according to the Word of God. Now, there's a right way, and it's all pointed out in the Bible. Let me give you some of them. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Did you get that? He or she that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a whole city. He said, you're stronger than the mighty if you know how to rule your spirit. And if we're slow to anger and we take charge of the situation, we're stronger than he that taketh a whole city. That's what God said. And we either believe him or we don't believe him. Ephesians 4:31. Listen to this, Christian. And just see where we are as believers in any of our relationships. The Scripture says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? It's very clear what he's saying. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all evil speaking, saying bad things about someone else, but be put away from you with all malice, all the malice that goes along with it. As the Christian bumper sticker says, I don't get mad, bless God, I just get even. Right? That's biblical. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off, like taking your coat off, like taking your shirt off, like taking your clothes off, your cloak off, put off all these. Put them off. Get rid of them. Take them off. What are they? Anger. Again. Wrath, malice, and look what's in the same category, blasphemy. Wow, it's in the same category with blasphemy. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Watch your jokes, men, especially men. Watch your filthy mouth. It may bring some laughs, but it may not bring honor to God. We have to be so careful with that. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just lay people. Sometimes preachers can be pretty bad about that if you hang around some of them. Best thing to do is get away from those. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God says, put them off, take them off. Just like when you go in tonight and change your clothes and maybe get into your pajamas and get ready to go to bed. Take these other things off and then put on the right things, the righteous things that God tells us about it. And it's not the best thing for Christians to fight fire with fire. We think we ought to fight fire with fire. That's just normal. Yeah, that's the problem. That's just natural. Yeah, that's the problem. Are we supposed to live in the natural and let the flesh control us, or are we supposed to let the Holy Spirit of God control us? Which one? The flesh or the Spirit? God or the flesh? And we're supposed to allow the person, the Holy Spirit, to control us. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
A soft answer turneth away wrath. How many of you are practicing that? Don't say a word. But, there's that comparative conjunction, but grievous words do what? Stir up anger. Amen? Ladies, you can say amen. He won't get mad at you for very long. Or vice versa. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer. A pleasant, Christian, Christ-like, soft answer. But grievous words stir up wrath. And by the way, it's not the apology that counts so much. It's what you did to begin with. Some people get tired. You're just always apologizing. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. And you just do it again, then you say the same thing. Do it again and say the same thing. Get a clue. That's not the way to solve it. That's not the way to do it. We don't do it. That's not the way that God wants us to do it. It's how you react initially that really counts. And you may blow your stack and lose your cool and not have a soft answer and then go back and apologize, but you've done some damage, whether you realize it or not, to yourself and to the person that you did that to. Now, when offenses happen, as soon as they happen, the thing to do, if they do happen, is resolve them. Don't let it go on and on and on and linger and go on and on and on and not solve it. If some of you are here in this building tonight and there's anger and there you had words before church with your children with your mamas and daddies, husbands and wives, whoever it may be, whatever the situation may be, someone in this church, then the thing to do is resolve those problems. Because here's why. Lingering anger, listen to this statement now, lingering anger breeds bitterness. Lingering anger will only bring forth and birth bitterness. Ultimately, that's what's going to come. If you don't deal with anger rapidly, then it's going to build and build and build, and then the result is there's going to be bitterness. Is God pleased with bitterness? Absolutely not. Forgive us our trespasses, God, as we forgive those who trespass against us. God said a whole lot when He gave us that model prayer in that statement, didn't He? Forgive us our debts. We'd rather quote that one. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. But it's the same mindset. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we can't forgive people, then why do you think God's going to bless our lives and honor us and our prayers and all if we haven't learned to forgive people? Some people just can't ever do it, but you're wrong. And we should be willing to forgive. Deal with it when it happens. And be done with it. One of our evangelist friends says it this way, build a bridge and get over it. Who says that? Brother House, J.C. House, that's who it is. Build a bridge, I've heard him say that a number of times, and get over it. That's the right thing to do as a Christian. Build a grace bridge. And get over it, because that's what the Bible teaches we should do. And you know, whatever has happened in the past, if your husband or your wife asks you to forgive them, by the grace of God, you ought to forgive them. I mean, it's just a principle. If there's something that has happened, just turn it over to God and forgive them. And then one of the things to do is keep it out of the home. Keep all this conflict by the grace of God out of the home. The reason a lot of kids don't respond and respect the preaching of the Word of God in church and all that is because at home there's a feud factory. They're always, mama's already fighting, daddy's always fighting, And then the kids, listen, you think they're not impacted by that? I promise you they are impacted by that. It has an impact on them. And they're thinking, if that's all Christianity is and nobody's any happier than my mom and daddy, why would I want to have Christianity? Now, that's a sad way of thinking. But when they see that kind of stuff, it's no wonder they get out of church. No wonder you have no influence with them. It's sort of like an ungodly priest talking to his sons in the Old Testament. They're not going to listen to you. They're just not going to listen to you. So we have to really be careful with that. And we can, even in the homes, I don't think the way to deal with your children is to scream and holler. Some mothers think that's the first calling. You gotta, of course, they've got it figured. She hollered once. That's number one. She's going to do it three times. She gets a little loud. That's number two. And then she gets real loud. That's number three. And then, boy, they get up and do something about it. But if they don't, they scream and holler and blow their stack. Why wouldn't it be better to take the proper kind of punishment? Amen. I believe that there ought to be some things, consequences. If you tell, listen, if you tell your teenage boy to take out the trash and he says, I'll do it when I want to, I think there ought to be some consequences. But there might be a way to do it without provoking them to wrath. I'm not saying we should not have any consequences or shouldn't have any kind of discipline. We've got to have it. It must be, and that's biblical. But maybe sometimes you might want to sit down with them and explain some things and talk it out with them and have prayer with them. I used to deal with my children and I'd bring them in. I'd say, now you know what you've done. And you know what the Bible says about that. And we're going to have a little meeting here, a little education. It involves a board or involves a spanking. Oh, child abuse, my. God is a child abuser then, because he says that we ought to chasten a child. If we don't, we're not doing him the right deal. But some people don't do it right. And that's what creates the problems. And then after I'd get through, when they were snubbing and crying, and I didn't do that when they got a little bit older. There were other ways to do it, but we had prayer together. And boy, that was the thing that hurt them more than anything else, is when Daddy prayed with them and we talked to God about it. And that usually would take care of it. But there ought to be consequences, but you can do it without anger. I remember hoeing cotton one time with my best buddy, and we went to church together, and I don't know, I guess his daddy thought he was talking too much. We were working steady, and as we were going down a long row of cotton, chopping that cotton, and I guess his daddy wasn't real satisfied with what he was doing or the pace, and he came out, grabbed the hoe out of his handle, and just knocked him across his back with seven or eight licks with the hoe handle just as hard as he could, knocked him down. And I thought, I'm not going to spend the night with Buddy Bradshaw anymore. There's no way. And Buddy Bradshaw decided, I'm going to join the Army. He joined the Army. Left home and joined the Army and did not have good feelings toward his daddy. I don't think that was the best way to handle it, to give you an illustration. But if he had talked to him and sat down and explained to him some things, maybe about economics or whatever, a little bit, and said, I do want you to pick up the pace a little bit. And if you're going to have company, your company's going to pick up the pace too a little bit, and you're going to go on. But I'm just saying there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And blowing your stack and being angry all the time and screaming all the time and hollering at your kids all the time and hollering at each other all the time, that's not the way to do it. Anger is God-given. It's an emotion that God gives us, but we have to use it properly. Now, if you don't want God to be angry with you, come to Jesus and get saved. Amen? Because if you're not already in Christ, you are of your father, the devil. You're on his side. If you want God to love you, and he already loves you, if you want to be on God's side, you want the blessings of God, then you come to him and ask him to come into your heart and ask Jesus to save you. If you don't, you're going to meet the wrath of God someday. I had a guy tell me, Brother Peoples, yesterday, well, he was just so belligerent, Brother Peoples, you remember him, young guy, 25 years of age, he was rattling off and just thought he was really cock of the walk, and he wasn't scared of this and all of that. And I said, you're not afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die. I said, well, if you die in your condition, you'll go to hell. You need Christ. He said, I'm not afraid to go to hell. He said, I will have friends down there. I said, you won't have any friends in hell. And I said, you won't be doing drugs and sex and dope and all those things in hell. You'll want it, but you won't be able to get it. Well, I'll take my chances. I'm young and I'll live till I'm 50 or something. I've got 25 more years, I think he said, at least. I think I've got that many. I said, how old are you? He said, 25. I said, my brother was killed in a car wreck, 25 years of age, friend. You need to get saved. But he was just laughed about it, made fun. We led, by the way, the older man that lived there to the Lord. But this guy was so belligerent, the other man responded. But I'm telling you, if this young man doesn't get saved, you say, preacher, you want him to go to hell? Oh, no. Not on your life, I don't want him to go to hell. Even though he insulted us and he was sort of not too nice to us and all that, that's all right. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to get saved. But I can tell you this, if you don't get saved in this life, you die in your lost condition, you will meet the anger of God. You don't have to. Has God spoken to your heart about something tonight? Do something about it. Let's stand, please. And friend, just before we sing, all I want to say is what I've told you tonight has come. I've used a lot of verses to back up what I'm saying because I know a lot of times it just goes over our heads. But that's what the Bible says. And we can do what it says or not. And listen, you don't answer for anybody else. You only answer for yourself. May God help us to be right in our relationship with others and God in our anger and all of those things. Parents and children, God help us to do what the Bible says. If you're here without Christ, come and be saved. Father, bless the preaching of your word tonight. And may these principles go deep into our minds and hearts and help us to do our dead level best every day to live by them in all of our relationships in life. I know that no doubt all of us can improve on that. Speak to our hearts about it. We pray in Jesus' name. While we sing, God's spoken, the altar's open, you can come. Would you do it?